It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're live from Jethro FM, country with a twist and a little bit of barbecue on the side, too. But we're in the studio today, and I hope you're in where there's somewhere warm because we had a little cold snap this week. But I hope that didn't keep you from getting out on your grill and firing up the barbecue. So I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, Jop, thanks, buddy. And I was on my grill. I think I might have even streamed a little bit of it, but I only grilled once this week. I did get an upgrade on my phone, though, and so I hit upgrade, and you know, we've had Chef Schultz on the show before.
Yeah.
My chef category turned into Chef Schultz, but it was Andy Schultz in that upgrade. So this is
an upgrade.
We brought him in.
This is an upgrade for sure.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I've actually co-hosted this show with the other Chef Schultz, but it's good to have you here, Andy.
Thank you.
Appreciate you making time, man. So I think we've got a full day of recipes and techniques ahead of us by the sound of things, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Good, man.
So I've known this fella since he was in junior high, I think. And his parents, of course, Maureen still hangs out with his mom. I don't see your brother much, but I'd love to meet your partner sometime because there's four chefs. That just sounds like a good deal.
Yes, there is four chefs for sure.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get you in here because we're Facebook friends, of course, and I keep seeing these pictures of the food you're making. And I thought, my gosh, I can't take it anymore. I got to get this kid on the show.
I appreciate it.
And you came with some nice samples today. So before we got set up here, before Jop arrived, I was helping you set the food up, and you uncovered that chili, and the aroma just hit my senses. And I love chili, and I had to try some. So I've already had two little helpings. They were very small.
I've never had a taco with what looked like glass in it.
It is.
Yeah, well, it cooked well if you put the glass in there. So, no, I just, Andy, I just went out and I got here late. These guys already ate some food. And what is it that this taco is made of? Let's start with that one because I got it in my hand. I'm about to eat it.
Okay, so we have a pork adobe taco. So it was slow roasted in Mexican spices and then shredded. And then we have a vegan sour cream cilantro avocado sauce on top. With the glass is your pumpkin brittle. So it's a simple sugar like mixture, and then you put it in the pumpkin seeds to get that authentic street taco look for it.
And do you add any aromatics to the simple syrup?
Yeah, you do, just to get more of that flavor. Every bite you want to get a good flavor.
And
small bites,
what
big
else
flavor.
Is in that?
Like Mexican chili, some paprika.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how was the cork booked? How was the pork cooked? Holy
well,
cow.
Well enough, apparently.
Yeah. I just got here, too, man. What the heck?
You were right, Conrad. He was at the bar.
Right.
It was slow roasted in a Dutch oven. So low and slow, about 6 hours in the Dutch oven.
Do you use the Dutch oven a lot?
Yeah, I do.
Bob never uses them. He hates the damn
thing. I love it.
I love mine. He's... It's a long-standing joke. He used to always roll his eyes when I'd start talking about Dutch ovens and my recipes and stuff. And then he's eaten out of it enough times that he really kind of saw the value, and then he kind of liked it. So I bought him a beautiful Lodge Dutch oven for Christmas a couple years back, and now he's in the club.
That's good. Man. That's awesome.
Oh, man, am I. I did and this is an affordable dish that you can do. And I guess I'll clip my own man card for at least a day because – I came home and I had a chuck roast thawed out, and I was like, well, I could go out there and slow cook that thing on the smoker, and it was Saturday, or I could just put it in this Dutch oven in my oven in here and not have to stand out there and babysit that damn thing. And that's what I did. But it was amazing. I could share the recipe, but you're the chef, so.
I think if it's in a Dutch oven, it doesn't matter where you get your heat because nothing's getting inside it.
Right.
Yep. Unless you have it. Like my Cajun grill has a pot holder in it, and if you leave the top off, it shut the grid. The smoke wafts over your whatever you're cooking, chili.
Yeah, so I just put it in a simple little. My wife is trying to eat a little healthier, so I wanted to put a little crust on it, right? So I took some olive oil and got it hot in the pan and just mixed up oat milk and a little bit of flour and created a little batter, put it in that hot skillet, the bottom of that hot Dutch oven, rather, and browned it for about 4 or 5 minutes on each side, and then put all my liquids in and my vegetables and went from there. But, man, it turned out really, really good. Easy, easy little recipe. You can pick that one up anywhere on the online, but, you know, whatever seasoning you like, right?
For sure. It sounds great. We use a lot of oat milk in a lot of our cooking as well for dairy-free individuals. So we use oat milk because it's more of like that heavy cream, like consistency. So that's what we use a lot for substitution.
Yeah.
So we have appetizers, we have entrees, and we have desserts. So we're going to do three segments coming up. And the appetizers are, I think, something that everybody wants creativity with. And I'm looking forward to your ideas from the four chefs.
For sure.
Yeah. So Andy, this is the first time we've met, but are you comfortable pairing up beverages with the food that you make? I don't want to put you in a corner where you can't come out, but if you do that, that'd be interesting as well to see what you think.
He was doing that in high school.
Well, I understand. Yeah, right.
You don't want the parents to know.
I didn't know if he was doing it professionally though. Maybe he was a pro.
I thought
by
he
now,
was pretty good.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, that's a whole nother dimension of providing people with meals, is being able to pair beer, wine, liquor, whatever it is, even non-alcoholic drinks with foods. And I really enjoy that part of a meal when you hit it spot on and you've got the right varietal of wine with that first bite of protein.
Right.
And it's like, ooh, man, that's good.
I like doing it with wine. I'm one of those people that doesn't really care for beer with the meal.
Yeah.
Because it tends to, I don't know, makes you kind of bloated or something.
I don't know. I've seen you have several of them before after you've eaten. So
yeah.
It's not, you don't like beer.
No. With my food.
It takes up too much room for the
I'm
food.
Really almost strictly a red wine guy anyway, in terms of anything with dinner.
Yeah.
I don't drink much white wine. I'm not opposed to it, but what about you, Andy?
More red wine for like meats and game meats like that. White wine is more for the fish and chicken dishes.
Okay, we had men's steak night at Impact Church a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And this guy that showed up to help, really cool guy, he made some bear loin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Unique.
Oh, it was so good. And he had some venison backstrap. Bear loin was actually better.
Oh, I can believe it.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Tender.
I'm going to put in for a bear permit this year. I want to kill a bear. Legally.
Yeah. Bear loin wasn't a state of how you were dressed?
No.
It was something that you ate? All right, just checking.
It was men's steak night, so that would be really
church,
weird.
Yeah, probably not then, huh?
I did get to wear my new camo apron, though.
Nobody saw you wear it, though, did they?
No.
But, hey, this... I tell you what, I inhaled that taco.
I noticed.
It was really good.
Good.
And you know what?
I'm glad.
Pulled pork is just an average thing for us, usually. We have so much of it. But that had a really good flavor. What'd you do to it?
I mean, okay, I got to go get one.
So I marinated overnight the pork butt in chili, cumin, paprika, garlic powder, a little cayenne, and get those flavors into the pork butt itself.
Dry rub.
Dry rub, yep. And then I cooked it in the Dutch oven the next day and just let it slow and low.
No moisture. Just the fat off the pork butt was enough to... So you probably put that fat cap down?
Correct.
Right,
yep.
So that it rendered as it cooked. And what temperature would you do something like that at?
About 300 degrees.
Okay. So not too hot.
Nope.
Just enough to keep it cooking and then... did you? I noticed it was pulled, so you probably brought it up to like 190, 195?
Yep, 195.
Right.
And let it rest for about 20 minutes to get all those juices back into that pork, and then I shredded it and just fell right off.
Yeah, right. So do you prefer the bone-in or the boneless?
I prefer boneless, but a lot of people like to use the bone-in pork to use that pork bone for something else.
Yeah, all right. Well, cool. Andy, so far so good, man. We got a lot more to try, and I'm looking forward to it.
So good.
And Barbecue Bob's eating one of those glassy tacos, so we'll talk about that in the next segment. So stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orin Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Jop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grilling guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. Pardon me, my mouth is full. I got some of Chef Andy's wonderful chili here, but we're going to cover that in another segment. Hopefully, I don't cover myself with it because it's I want heaping spoonfuls of this stuff when I'm eating it. But Barbecue Bob, how's that taco, brother?
Mm, I love the Lomi Lomi salmon. What a nice touch.
Oh, yeah. That was last night. Yep. That was, so what I did was a macadamia nut.
But that's what you've got in the cup out there, right?
Yep.
It's on the taco, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a nice touch.
Yeah. Different.
I missed that. I'll be back. Bob, take it away.
No. So let's talk appetizers.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Something at the beginning of the meal.
Now, okay.
So let's step back because, Andy, I don't know, so I'm assuming that the listeners don't know either. Do you have a restaurant, don't you?
No.
No?
So
we're a catering company.
We're a catering
right,
company.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about that. What kind of events you usually do, what kind of food you offer, and then we'll get into those appetizers because I'm sure that's part of your repertoire.
Yep. Sure. So we do in-home catering events for like baby showers, bridal showers, graduation parties, just any occasion to really have a catering event. And what we do is we talk with our client. We customize menus for what they're looking for. If you look on our website, we don't have any menus on there because we want to customize and have that interaction with a client of exactly what they're looking for. And then that's how we build our appetizer menu to the entree and to the dessert.
So you've got to have, because I'm assuming that when you sit down with a customer, they've got two or three things that they like, ooh, man, I'd really like to have this. Then you start to get that little blank look on their face like, I don't know, you tell me.
Yep, that's right? What's happening.
Right, and I've catered a few events, nothing like you guys. I'm not a professional caterer, but that happens, you know, and I just do barbecue, so it's easy. You get four or five go-tos and then you're done.
Yeah, for sure.
But with you guys, it sounds like you do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we do.
So having done this, how long have you been doing this?
So for the company, we started back in 2019. It was a side business, and yep. From there, back in about 6-8 months ago is when it turned to be full-time for me.
Great.
So back in June is when this was a full-time gig.
Tough with COVID, I'm sure.
It actually
helped us. It's better.
Yeah.
I think it probably plays right into your hands.
It does.
Because I know your other gig, and you ran a very large institutional cooking thing. I won't mention who it was, but I know that was very hard. And I don't think you were valued nearly as much as you should have been. And now you can write your story. And that's, I think, the artistic side of cooking requires that.
For sure. And I get to be creative now. I get to create the menus that I want to make. And I get to explore and just be open to anything that clients and customers are willing to try.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. And, of course, on Jethro FM, wherever any of their stations are. So we're glad you're here. We're talking with Chef Andy Schultz, who's an old friend of our family's, and he's got a company called Four Chefs Catering. If you're a Facebook freak, you should go on it and look him up, Four Chefs Catering, and give him a like because he's going to tantalize you with photos, I mean, daily. It's going to it gets annoying after a while because then I got to go up and make food.
Right, right. That's a good problem to have.
Right. So Andy, let's talk about some of those appetizers then that are more popular with your customers.
Yeah. So a lot of go-to for customers is your sausage stuffed mushrooms with an 18-year-old balsamic reduction on top. A pistachio chicken skewer is a new one that a lot of people are willing to try with a Thai peanut sauce. I got this from Hawaii. So I worked out in Hawaii for a couple of years. So this is kind of where I took that recipe and just made it my own.
Did you go to the Hula Grill?
I did.
Ah, of course.
So let's dive into that, or let's check out the recipe then.
You got to go to Maui to check out the Hula Grill.
Yeah, all right. But so pistachio chicken skewer. Okay. So what type of chicken? Give me some flavor profiles and then the sauce at the end.
Yep. So you take a chicken breast and then you cut them into little strips so it's bite-sized pieces for your appetizer. And then you have a standard breading procedure of egg, flour, and breadcrumbs. And then you dip it in the pistachio with a little panko at the end. And then you dip it back into the egg and back into the panko so it gets a good crust on top.
Where's the pistachio?
Pistachio is in the bread, like the panko.
So they're crumbled or crushed.
Yep,
rather.
You crush them. Oh. Yep, yep.
So it's got a little nutty panko.
Correct.
Surprised you don't use macadamia nuts.
Are you?
Sometimes we do.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Are you deep frying that?
Nope. We bake them to make it more healthier.
Nice.
Then in the sauce we have like a Thai peanut, so that's where the Hawaiian infused theme comes in with a may ploy and then a little peanut butter sauce.
Right.
May ploy.
May ploy. It's a sweet chili.
Wow. It
has red chili flakes, sugar, and a little vinegar.
Right, and you mix that with the peanut butter just to thin it a little bit, and then that you dip these skewers. So there's one or two bites on these things, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh,
so you can put some heat in
you
that.
You can. Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Because Thai, I mean, I love Thai food, and my buddy was married to a Thai woman when I was in the service.
Oh, yeah.
And she taught me how to eat Thai food, and I'll tell you, she would bring it. They like it hot.
Oh, they do.
And the next day, you'd be hurting.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a technical question, but I think that as I sit here thinking about double breaded, you breaded, went back to the egg, and breaded again.
Correct.
You got a pretty thick coating on that chicken before you put it in the oven. You're going to lay it on a rack? You're going to lay it on a baking pan?
A baking pan into the oven. So that double layer adds more moisture to your chicken so it doesn't dry out.
Okay.
So it keeps all the moisture in there.
And you're baking it so it's not soaking up a bunch of grease.
Correct. Yep.
Right.
And then you'd want to like put some Pam on the bottom of your pan or put parchment paper down?
Parchment paper.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so how do you know when that's done?
So you want to temp it to 165 degrees.
Right. So you're still going to use a thermometer. The number one tool in every chef's kitchen and the number one tool at my grilling station is a digital thermometer.
We all have thermopens, and they're on our website. So if you need to buy a American-made, beautiful, instant read, it's called Thermopen. Look for the link on the right. It'll say ThermoWorks.
Right.
That taco was phenomenal.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. So
I can't lick my hands
so
anymore.
Andy, before we get out of the appetizers, give us what about seafood? People love to have crustaceans or fish in an appetizer. Tell us one that maybe you've made before.
Well, and he brought one in.
Oh, he did.
And I would love to hear what you did. When I was stationed in Hawaii, the locals, my people I worked with, would take me to this one restaurant like once a month. And they devoured Lomi Lomi salmon, and I got to be just a huge fan of it. So tell me what you did.
Yeah, so last night we had an in-home catering event, and what we did was we took a standard breading procedure as well, took the fresh Atlantic salmon, and then we breaded it in coconut and macadamia nut, and then we actually made a Hawaiian beurre blanc with coconut milk and sake, fresh ginger.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it gave a nice little touch to it.
So the beurre blanc went on the fish while you were cooking it?
No, so when we plated it, the sauce went on the bottom of the plate, and then we put the salmon on top, and we garnished with toasted coconut and macadamia nuts.
Nice. Wow.
Very nice. Oh. I bet that went over like a lead balloon, huh?
Not really.
Lomi Lomi salmon.
Yeah.
How'd you do it?
Because
that wasn't Lomi Lomi you were just talking about, really.
No. That was more like the Hawaiian type salmon what we did.
Yep. Wow, very good. And is there a particular salmon that you use?
A fresh Atlantic.
Yeah, yep. Nice.
Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, let's chat a little more.
Sounds good.
Lomi Lomi. Okay. Right. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back, y'all. This is the Grillin' Guys, and we've got Chef Andy Schultz with us today, and we're going to take advantage of that. And keep him running down the cool stuff that he serves to his catering customers. So, but Andy, before we do that, how do people get a hold of you if they want to do some catering?
So you can email us at 4FOR, the number 4, chefs at gmail.com, or call us at 616-443-6289.
All right. And you're right here in West Michigan.
Yep.
Yep. So you'll travel probably anywhere that anybody's listening to us.
You'd
bring them. So how many people do you usually serve? You said you did an in-home party. That's got to be pretty popular in this COVID era that you do this. Do you bring in business lunches too, or would you do
yeah,
that, or
we're,
are they just evening
yep,
party?
We've been to Davenport University. We've done a few corporate events.
Nice.
We do in-home, and then our meal delivery system on a weekly basis is our big popular hit, where the meals come already cooked and cooled, and then all you have to do is reheat them.
Wow, really cool. So average party size that you guys end up doing?
25 to 50.
Yeah, okay, great. So that's perfect, and you guys are all set up. You bring it, you serve it, you clean it up, and you
yep.
go on home.
Yep, yeah. We leave the place cleaner than what we find it at.
Yeah, right, yeah, turnkey stuff, man. That's awesome, that's awesome. So we covered some of your appetizers. You want to dive into that center of the plate? And see what we've got to talk about now, huh?
Yeah. So what are the popular ones, and what do you like to make for entrees?
So our popular one is a grilled filet. That's actually from Caledonia. We like to support local farmers and everything like that. And then we do a surf and turf with that, so a lobster tail or scallops, a fresh Atlantic salmon as well. That's basically our center of the plate.
So let's talk about that filet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're usually making them to medium?
Yep. Medium rare to medium.
Yeah, I like a medium rare, but they're very often ordered by women. They love fillets.
Correct.
And they don't typically prefer to see too much red in there.
No, they don't.
Right.
So what's your procedure? How do you perfect that?
So when we have an in-home event, we have all the guests come in, and then we take their what they would like for temperatures on the steak. And
I
then
do that when people walk into my house. I take their temperature and make sure that they're not sick, right?
Yeah,
no,
sure.
I'm sorry. That's COVID overload. Keep going.
So then we write it down on a piece of paper, and then we cook them differently. So if it's more of a medium well to well, we put those steaks in first, and then if it's the medium to medium rare, we put them in second, and
so
then
you don't
it brings
roast
them.
A whole loin then?
No, so what I do is I take a whole beef tenderloin and cut them into fillets, and then I mark them on the grill, and I usually put like fresh garlic, olive oil, some thyme, rosemary, and then I make a nice espanol sauce to go along with it.
So
I was with you till Espanol. I'm sorry. Sorry, Bob.
What temperature do you like to use for your oven, and is it convection when you're doing that?
It is convection. When I have the steaks already pre-cooked, I like to bring in the oven to about 375.
Okay.
And it's a little bit higher heat, and then I just let it take its time. So it's about 20 minutes by the time everything's all set, but when you have three other courses going, you have that time to really give a great product.
So you're pre-cooking it and cooling it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
at your kitchen so that you know you get the marks on it and you know
what
temperature it's at when you bring it in.
Yep.
Because I would think that'd be a challenge. It's coming to somebody's kitchen and getting to use their equipment.
Yeah,
it is.
And it, you know, there's all kinds of qualities and styles there.
But I'm sure you run into a lot of nice kitchens because if somebody can afford to bring a caterer in, they're generally going to have a pretty nice kitchen.
Yeah. There's some nice kitchens out there I've seen. But I like to have everything prepped, ready to go. And then when we have to reheat the sauces or the soup, I know what I'm dealing with. Because everybody usually has a stock pot or something like that, a saucepan.
Well, I don't think you've been to our house since we rebuilt, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Garrett's did a great job in our kitchen.
That's great.
And job help, too.
Yeah, he's got a really nice... residential kitchen, you know, and that's you don't need a commercial kitchen, you need a residential kitchen,
correct,
in his house, and it's really nice. So I'm curious, catering events have a way to grow or shrink at the last minute. Almost everyone I've done, my rule is to bring about 15% more food than I need, but I'm doing barbecue, so that doesn't really equate to a lot of money. But with regard to like fillets and lobster tails and surf and turf that you talked about, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, we usually bring one or two portions left over or extra to bring in just in case something happens. But we're always prepared. About 15% is what we like to plan on. We always have leftover food, and that's what our customers like, that they have a sit-down meal, and then we box everything up and put it in their fridge. They have lunch the next day.
Right.
They really enjoy that.
Yeah, you know, it's a good thought, Jop. It is January, so if you have an event coming up that you want barbecue for, you should email the grilling guys now to get in there because we only do it certain events. And I know we've got some events with Jethro coming up. But
a lot of graduation parties in the spring and things of that nature.
You go to the website and hit the link, sir.
Yeah. So, but anyway, well, that's cool.
And
so,
you don't have a website yet. You're just on Facebook.
No, we have a website.
Oh, you do?
Yep. It's www.4chefsgr.com.
Is that F-O-U-R?
Yep. Like, F-O-U-R.
Four chefsgr.com.
Correct. Cool.
That's good.
Cool. Yeah. So are there really four chefs?
Yes, there are.
Yeah. I thought probably.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's your premiere, the surf part, the turf. You know what? I think I talk to several people a year that complain that when they do a lobster tail or they do scallops, they never really know when to stop grilling, and it turns out like rubber bands. And so I'd be interested in your insight into that, how you should, where you should stop cooking, maybe some tips.
And you ever grill lobster?
No, we have not grilled. We usually bake it with a little water in the pan and put a cover on it so it creates that steam. So you're adding moisture as you're cooking for the lobster and you don't have it rubbery. I had a lot of experience out in Hawaii, so seafood was second nature for me. For scallops, you want to listen to the scallop. So you get a hot pan in your skillet and then you put in the scallop and then you want to kind of put your spatula underneath the scallop, and if it comes off easy, it's ready to be flipped. If it's not coming off the spatula very easy, you still need to wait. So that's the key.
Nice.
I
so for a lobster, what are you going to temp it?
Yep.
You're going to slit the back?
Yep. You slip the back, and then you take the meat out of it, and you put it on the shell, and then you kind of fan out the lobster tail at the end just to give a nice presentation.
Right. What temp?
145 degrees.
That's good enough for lobster?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you season that with anything?
Yeah, we do like a little like herb glaze, like a mayo and basil, dill, some garlic. Just keep it simple.
I did a couple tours down in, I was going to say Vietnam, Australia for the Air Force. And their lobster are, I don't know, it's the biggest, three people can eat one tail.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they made some of them slit in the back. And they melted, they have wonderful cheese down there, and they melted cheese on it. It was so good.
It sounds delicious.
It's crazy.
Sounds delicious.
I've never had it that way, and I have never made it that way since, but I thought it was just a really cool presentation, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
So one more thing in the center of the plate here. Surf and Turf's a little high-end. What do you got that might be a little more affordable, but that you're really proud of?
Yeah, we like to keep to our... grilled beef tenderloin, again, with the local and everything. We like to support them. Or a salmon dish as well. It's affordable.
Right.
So do you buy a whole cow from this guy, or do you just go to a...
We are getting close to buying a whole cow for how much we're going through for meal delivery. So we're buying almost the whole cow.
You're not rustling these cows, are you?
No. Right.
Tipping. To be honest. No rustling. No. Just tipping.
Tipping and dipping.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, but a chicken marsala. Give us your marsala sauce real quick.
So we like to bread it in flour, the chicken breast. You pound out the chicken and then bread it in flour. You season it with Italian seasoning and garlic. Sear it in the oil, and then you take out the chicken, and then from there you make your sauce. So you add your mushrooms, and then you add your fresh garlic, and then you add your other spices, Italian spices, and make a sauce from there. You want that pan sauce.
Nice.
Right. Wow. Awesome. And then you just pour that over at the end as presentation.
Yes.
But the chicken is fried, if you will, or in a little bit of oil.
Correct.
In a, like a cast skillet.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, very good. Just to make it a little bit crunchy.
Yep.
And when you're doing those tenderloins you were talking about, the fillets, what's the common ounce size you're serving? 4 to 5 ounces.
4 to 5 when you have a surf and turf.
Right. Okay. Very good. All right. Coming up next, it's dessert time. Can't wait. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull.
Welcome back. Chef Andy Schultz is with us today on the Grillin' Guys here. And I just need more time in the break, Conrad. You slave driver, I want to get some more to eat, but I couldn't. So, Bob, take it away. I need to go get something more, man.
Yeah, I ran out there and grabbed one of your little desserts. But again, it's Four Chefs Catering. Check them out on Facebook or go to fourchefsgr.com.
Yep.
Yeah. Check this guy out. Been a friend of the family for just over a decade. I don't know. How old are you now? 32, 33?
34.
34. Oh, my God. My back hurts. Oh, wow. I've known you for...
a long time.
Over 20 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Always a good kid. Always a good kid.
Well, any kid that can cook is a good kid.
Well... right?
That's why you teach them to do it.
And we've shared a lot of meals together over at the family casa. I just went out and tried one of your little cheesecake desserts, and my wife happens to be the cheesecake queen. And that
Cumberland Road,
that cheesecake is as good as hers. I'm sorry, Maureen, if you're listening, she probably isn't.
Nah, don't worry about it.
No, she keeps Jethro on in her car,
right? Yeah. But purposely is parked in the garage on Saturday morning.
No,
right?
She's on her way to pickleball.
Oh yeah. Right.
Indoor pickleball.
I see. All right.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
What other desserts are popular?
We have a chocolate flourless torte that is very popular for the gluten-free folks out there and dairy-free. So we don't add sugar to our desserts. That's another thing these days where people are looking for non-added sugar, and that's what we specialize in as well.
So that chocolate flourless is... big now.
It is.
How do you get that to taste good? doesn't make sense.
It doesn't have anything good in it. Man, you're magic.
Give me a reason to take a bite, for God's sake.
So we take we make like a simple syrup with agave, so water and agave instead of white sugar, and then we put a double boil of chocolate chips. It's a no sugar added chocolate chip instead of
the agave
milk.
And is... is sweet.
Yeah. Not as much sugar, though,
no.
as a tablespoon of white sugar. So
right.
that's a difference there. And then we add the sugar mixture back into that melted chocolate, and then you add a little bit of butter and then some eggs, and that's all it is. And you treat it like a cheesecake. You put it in a springform pan with a water bath in the oven and bake it at 300 degrees for about an hour.
Right.
Beautiful.
So this stuff just rolls off your tongue. I know it's what you do every day, but tell us a little bit about schooling. Where'd you go? What'd you do? You said you've been to Hawaii?
Yeah, so I was born in the business. My dad's a chef instructor at GRCC. And
which is the Sekia Culinary School.
Sekia Culinary Institute. And I got my associate's degree from GRCC. And then from there, I went out to Hawaii for a couple years. I had an opportunity to open up a restaurant. So I learned at a young age what it takes to be successful.
You opened one up in Hawaii?
I did.
Where?
On Maui at Duke's Beach House.
Oh, nice. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
So I worked at Hula Grill, and then they opened up a restaurant when I was out there, and I had an opportunity to be the dining room chef. And then from there, I went to Colorado Springs, Colorado. I worked at Center for Creative Leadership. It's a big leadership program for all these executives from all over the world.
Right. I remember that, too. Yeah, that was a great gig.
Oh, yeah. It was a great gig. It was a Monday through Friday. I got to basically cook what I want there and give them what they're looking for. Like, healthy cooking is more for Colorado Springs.
Right.
So I learned that. And then from there, I came back to Michigan and worked at Aquinas College for 5 years. And then I was the chef at Pine Rest for 3.5 years. And then
lots of applesauce.
Oh, yeah. lots of applesauce and puree diets.
Joppy. That was Randy Joppy. Yeah. His cell phone number. Are you going to talk about cats at all?
No.
We have a few famous stories from this show over the years, but you have a great story. The Hula Grill. Anybody going to Hawaii, if you're going to Maui, that's a must
it
do.
Is.
Must do.
It is, for
so,
sure.
So I want to know if you ever drove up to Haleakala.
I did.
Yeah?
Yep.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that something? Did you bring mimosas with you?
No, I did not. Just a couple layers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you took the road to Hana, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You probably ran it.
No, I didn't at that time.
Yeah. Very good.
Maui is gorgeous. It's a bit overplayed. They've got an independence movement going on out there that I'm having fun watching. They want to be a separate country now.
They are.
And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
This one's messed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't fix it, I might move to Hawaii. Yeah. Then right. Take one for the team.
Right. Take one for the team there. So anyway, yeah. one thing we didn't touch on, and I want everybody to know, is you talked a little bit during the break about this meals that you can do for during the week. And you said you're doing upwards of 300 meals a week.
Yeah, we
for
are.
People. How does that work?
So we have an email list of about 40 families right now. People contact us about inquiries and everything like that. We put them on an email list, and then we have a Google Docs form that we send out to them every Tuesday. And then by Friday, they need to let us know what they would like to order. We have family-sized meals. We have single-size containers as well. These meals are fully cooked, cooled, and all you have to do is reheat them. There's a lot of families out there are busy, and they don't have time to cook. And in a way, this is their shopping as well. We take care of the shopping. They don't need to go buy the ingredients, cook it, and then have a mess in the kitchen. This is easy. You just pop it in the oven or microwave on the stovetop, and you're done.
That's
so
nice.
What kind of things are you making? That's ingenious.
So we have a breakfast item. We have a soup, an appetizer, a salad, and 7 entrees to choose from. So, for example, we have a chili on there. We have white chicken chili for our soups. We have chicken noodle soup. Your breakfast items are breakfast sandwiches on an English muffin, croissant. Your salads are anywhere from like a kale Caesar salad or a Brussels sprout salad.
Kale's hugely popular now, isn't it?
It is. That's a new trend.
Yeah. So do you blanch it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I keep it raw.
Some
keep
people
those
do,
nutrients
though, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So somebody gets on your website or connects with you on Facebook, you said you send them a Google Doc on Tuesday. They got to have it filled out for Friday for any number of meals. Do they come and get them? Do you guys deliver them?
We deliver. We deliver. So we're out in Spring Lake area. We're down in Gun Lake, Middleville, Hastings.
Wow, you're covering
up
a big
in
area.
Rockford. Yeah. And it's delivered on Tuesday between 9 a.m. and noon. And then they have meals for the week, whatever they decide. I mean, there's families that order a couple
every week.
Every week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because they know they're going to have busy schedules or be out of town or whatever.
Yep.
Kids going 10
that
ways.
That is just a brilliant scheme.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wow. And then... and
you know, Conrad lives out in Spring Lake, so...
Yeah. Sure. I might need to step by Conrad's place.
Yeah. How, you know, with that in mind, how big are the servings?
So it's single-size servings. So if you have the individual, you have a 22-ounce container. And then if it's a family size, it's a half pan that feeds 5 to 6 people.
Well, but, there you go, Conrad.
Yeah. Oh.
You will have to take that face diaper off to eat, though.
But anyway, well, that's cool, Andy. Really cool, man. I'm glad this thing's going well for you, and that it's taken off. And once again, why don't we give everybody? It's Four Chefs Catering, the number 4, but spelled out FOUR. FourChefsCatering.com. They can connect with you guys there. And like you said, do you have a menu for the weekly meals? You probably do.
So we rotate every week. So it's a different menu every week.
Oh, so everybody's getting the same thing.
No. Well, you the 300 pick, meals. But
they can pick from that variety.
Yeah, but next week will be different from this week, and the week after will be different from this week. So you're just rotating through, and it keeps it fresh. It keeps it, like, changing
I
and everything
it.
Like
oh,
that.
Yeah. I love it.
Where are your kitchens at?
American Legion in Caledonia the East Beltline.
Yeah.
That's our common series. That's where we work out of.
How cool. And
great
supporting
place.
The veterans there, too.
Oh, yeah. We make soups for the veterans, and we are working on some specials there as well. So we're giving back to the veterans as well.
That's nice.
That's great.
And it's nice that that they'll cooperate with you and help you out, because putting a commercial kitchen up's expensive.
It is. I'm very fortunate to have
that. We have an agreement with a commercial kitchen. It's not cheap.
No, it's not.
Right. Yeah, and we just rent it. I mean, on a per-use basis. But anyway, that's cool. So, Andy, anything else you want our listeners to know about your business?
Just reach out to us at FOR, the number 4, chefs@gmail.com to have an email of like a menu, or if they're looking at anything for baby shower, bridal shower, graduation party, meal deliveries, in-home events, anything like that.
Wow. Really cool, man.
That's awesome.
So I'm glad you made time for us. Thank you. And your food is wonderful.
Thank you.
Andy Schultz. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And we are hope you get out there and get your line wet a little bit. It's still ice fishing season, man.
Yes.
Have some fun with that.
Thanks so much. And again, out there, also the Michigan Talk Network, all you stations, we appreciate you hanging out with us a little bit.
All right. Until next week. We'll see you then.
See you.